It used to be that museums had a reputation of taking away from Alaska Native communities their artwork, cultural artifacts, and even burial remains. But the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian strives to work with Alaska Natives and Native Americans to keep culture alive. One of its programs has sent two Alaska artists to Washington, D.C. for 2 weeks of hands-on time with the museum's collection. APRN's Libby Casey reports.
Artist John Hudson is Tsimshian, and his family comes from Metlakatla in southeast Alaska, but he hadn't seen or heard a Tsimshian horn until last year in the Smithsonian collection.
I came out here to study rattles and clappers and things and try to help create things that would enhance our dance groups back in Metlakatla. And I kept coming across these things that were labeled as Tsimshian trumpets, you know, and I started calling around, and not too many people really knew about. We'd had whistles and these other noisemakers, but this one has an inner double-beating reed made out of yellow cedar.
Hudson examined the Tsimshian trumpets, diagrammed them, explored inside them with a flashlight, and after reading a 100-year-old description, he was able to carve his own version. He says one hadn't been made since at least before 1887.
And I kind of figured it out. You know, I still don't know exactly how they were used. We're going to be trying to find appropriate ways for us to use them now.
Hudson, who's Scottish and Danish, in addition to Tsimshian, says many of Metlakatla's rich artistic traditions were lost when Christian missionaries encouraged dropping their customs, something he used to resent but has now found peace with. He says he respects the decisions of the ancestors he calls brilliant people. His father is credited with helping revive traditional arts in Metlakatla, so after John Hudson spent time digging into the Smithsonian collection, he followed in his father's footsteps and brought the skill of making traditional Tsimshian horns back to Metlakatla, teaching classes to carvers. He took a video of the local dance group incorporating the new trumpets into their performance. That's the purpose of the Artist Leadership Program. Outreach coordinator for museum programs, Kevin Lewis, says for him it's personal and part of the evolving role museums can play. He points to the National Museum of the American Indian Act, which, along with the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, lets Native people request and get back parts of their culture.
Ever since those legislations came about, museums had to change their attitude on how to work with contemporary Native people. And whether it's through repatriation or outreach programs like the Artist Leadership Program, that's how things get returned back home.
John Hudson is again at the museum collection this month, now focused on Tsimshian puppets, another lost art. He was able to spend time with a particular puppet, at least a century old, that he'd seen for years in books.
You know, I call him the Nachnach, but that's a generic term in Tsimshian, which means something magical or something supernatural or something having powers beyond the norm. And he was still fully intact with original rigging and strings that were still operational, so I got to stand him up. And then there's another little portion of the chest that has a string to it. So when that string is pulled, the puppet's chest opens up to reveal a little spirit of some sort in the chest. You know, it's really a masterpiece of design, craftsmanship, and aesthetic quality.
Another Alaskan artist studying at the Smithsonian Collection is Erica Lord, originally from Nenana. She's been poring over old photographs and listening to recordings, too.
It was incredibly touching. Like I was just saying, we had a potlatch in Nenana just last week, and some of the elders were saying, does anyone even remember the porcupine dance? And not a lot of people did know, and so they were trying to sing it, but just we didn't have a lot of people that knew how to sing it or how to dance it. And then last Friday, one of the last things I found before the end of the day was one audio reel that said porcupine dance from Minto. And, you know, it's like I couldn't get any closer than Minto, so I was really excited.
Lord is 32 years old and works in mixed media, much of it centering around her identity and the native diaspora. She's Athabascan, Inupiaq, European, and Japanese. But she says that isn't confusing for her, it's rich.
What I try to do with my art is to sort of stimulate dialogue and conversation about that it's not something that has to be a problem, you know, that it's something really beautiful and amazing, and just because our culture changes doesn't necessarily mean we're losing it or it's becoming any less authentic or real. We'll always be real.
After Lord spends 2 weeks at the Smithsonian Collection, she plans to go back to Nenana and lead a mural project with local students celebrating their rich heritage. They'll look at old photographs and historical archives, then document their own lives. Lord hopes the students can get paid to work on the murals to inspire them for future jobs.
You can work in your village, that you can do work with your culture and your community and your creativity, and that can actually become a job or a career or a life.
Lord says she hopes the project brings a new creative force to Nenana and also gives the kids pride in their identity and community, their modern, diverse, native community. The two Alaskan artists, now at the National Museum of the American Indian, will soon head home, and in May, applications are due for the next group of Indigenous artists hoping to visit the collections. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.